be salt and bring about change just as salt and light can. Jesus picked those two domestic metaphors, two household items, salt and light, to talk about, but he was talking about changing the whole world. He used something that was in every person's home and that every person understood every time they used salt to stop decay in meat and fish, and every time they lit a lamp and put it on the lampstand. And he said to them, "You are salt, the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And what he's saying is, you need to take responsibility for the world. And he's saying it to them together, to his people in the world, his people, his gospel people. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Take responsibility for the world. Now that is awesome. Take responsibility, not just for your own families, not just for your own workplace and so on, but have a wider understanding. And the amazing thing is that following King Jesus brings about an understanding in us about the earth and the world, the whole of humanity, not just about our own families and people. So if anybody says you belong to a church, you're narrow-minded, you're only compared about your own, you can tell them that following Jesus has given you a concern for the world. And you know more about the world because you follow Jesus. And you come to church and you pray about poverty and child poverty in Bow and Bethnal Green. And it's following Jesus that stops you being narrow-minded. It's actually following Jesus that keeps us concerned about other people. Well, it does me. That's the story I can tell. We need to demonstrate the power of the gospel to transform people and structures. You, that includes me, are to take responsibility for the world, to stop decay and to bring about change. So there are aspects of things where we have to say no and aspects of the thing where we have to say yes. Here's the emphatic: you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't be like them, but be like me. The two metaphors of salt and light indicate the influence for good which Christians will exert in the community if, and only if, they maintain their distinctive character as portrayed in the Beatitudes. We will only be salt and light if we are those who are merciful, those who do what is right, those who know they are poor in spirit. It's not just because we say we're a Christian, but it's because our lifestyle is following that which is pleasing to God. The trouble is, we find it incredibly difficult to go against the flow of what is happening in the culture all around us. But we need to keep hearing that voice of Jesus. Don't be like them. Don't be like the dominant culture. Don't be greedy like them. Be generous and give away generously. Be like me. Be like me. The question is, how confident are we in Jesus and his gospel? How confident are we? What influence can the people with the sort of character he describes as blessed exert in this world, which is, according to Jesus, dark and full of decaying morality and people? You see, there are two things we sing about. We can join with Louis Armstrong in saying, "What a wonderful world." And we can look at beautiful slides of waterfalls and leaves and other things like that and happy people. But we could just as easily have put up a visual this morning about a dark and decaying world of immorality and greed, couldn't we? Because it is not just a wonderful world, it is a dark and decaying world, And that is why salt and light are needed. Forgive me if I do not just preach peace, peace. And we have to hold together those things, don't we? In our worship, suffering and struggle and pain. How confident are we that the gospel is God's power to change people and transform structures? The darkness and decay, we hardly talk about. Sin has become an unfashionable word, and I've been in meetings, some of them Christian, where we're actually told we mustn't talk about it. I want to recommend to you that you go to Romans chapter 1 and you read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter and you see the world as it really is. It is a world where there is hope because of the gospel and God's righteousness, but it is a world of darkness and decay, and that is why Jesus had to come. He didn't come for a sinecure or a holiday, you know, just to pay us a visit. He came to die for the sin of the world and to turn humanity back to God and make that possible. Some of us need to read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to the end, and it is not an easy read. I read it last night and I read it twice this morning and I was chilled to the bone. It's too long since I've read it. This is why Jesus had to come, because there is darkness and moral decay in this world. And Jesus warns us in verse 11 and 12 that the church will be persecuted for doing what Jesus said is right. One of the reasons Brian and I were discussing as we came round, we said, why is the church in the West not persecuted? Maybe it's simply because the church is so weak that we are not a challenge. We are not a threat, inverted commas, to the dominant way of life, the darkness and the decay. Our lives are not distinctive. We're not being like salt and light. We keep quiet and we're too nice at times. I use the word nice because my English teacher used to say to me, it's a dreadful word and it's quite right. We should be good. And we should be merciful and we should do kind things, but being nice is not really always a part of being salt, is it? Salt that loses its saltiness, says Jesus, is worthless. Followers of Jesus that lose their true character are of no use to the world. They're saved, they will be with Jesus in eternity, they will be in the new heaven and earth. But they're no use to the world. And we're here to be of use to the world, aren't we? To fellow human beings. Isn't that why we are here? Followers of Jesus that lose their true character are of no use to the world. We're sent into the world to serve the purposes of God and help those in need. Jesus didn't say, you're honey, go and be sweet. He said, you're salt. You need to go and you need to mix. You need to be rubbed into the culture where you are. And on occasion, you need to be abrasive. Salt is abrasive. It rubs up against things and it stops decay. It's a condiment to season food, but a preservative for food. And when it's rubbed into fish and meat, it slows down decay. And Jesus is saying we are to do that, not from a position of moral arrogance, but from the position of truth that Jesus has given, which means sometimes we are going to be unpopular. We do that with gentleness and grace and with respect. Scripture is plain. If salt becomes contaminated with impurities, it's less effective. So the salt that's thrown on the road and that people trample underfoot is full of impurities and grit and whatever. It's only good enough to be walked over. And that's what a lot of Christians can be walked over. If we as Christians just assimilate the culture around us, if we suck in the things around us, then we will lose our effectiveness. Where is the salt? It needs to be out there in the world, not in the salt pots of the church community, which is why we try to have the right amount of meetings and gatherings for prayer, for worship, and things like that, learning together, listening to God. But also, we say we must be out there. We need to be mixing and influencing and challenging the people we mix with by our very presence and sometimes by our words. Our speech is to be full of grace, seasoned with salt, it says in Colossians. So our words are actually meant to cause a bit of a stir. And there are times for those to cause a bit of a stir. The light must shine and not be concealed. Jesus made it plain that as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But he's clear here and on other occasions that we are to shine in the darkness like stars on a dark night. The shining comprises very clearly, it says in verse 16, doing good, so that people see our good works and praise God in heaven. They see something that is different, and that we attribute those to God. Many people do good works, but we hold together being salt and light. We can't be one or the other. We can't say, oh, well, I do good, I leave it up to the other people to be salty. We're called to be both salt and light. We're meant to be seen and recognised for good works, so that people talk about the good we do, not what a lousy person we are. We're meant to stand out. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me read you one sentence. It's written by a man called Bonhoeffer, and I'll ask in a minute if anybody can tell me who Bonhoeffer is. He's long dead. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. You've got it there on the screen. It's one sentence. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. Can anybody put their hand up and just tell me in a couple of sentences who Bonhoeffer is? He wrote this in a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Chris? He was a pastor, a theologian, a thinker. If you ever want to read a book which of somebody who's long died but it's about discipleship, The Cost of Discipleship, and you read this book, and he, by his stance against Hitler and the Nazis, faced a certain death. He was hung. He had to decide the most difficult of all things: was it more ethical to let Hitler live or to die? He had to make that very difficult decision. He's an amazing theologian, I believe. Now, we can conceal the light by sin or by compromise, by laziness or fear. There's many ways that we don't shine out. The last thought: we cannot choose between being salt or light. Jesus tells us to be both. He calls us to challenge, even if that makes us unpopular, the moral decay. Now, we need to understand what God sees as moral decay. All right? We need to understand what God has said is right. We don't invent morality. Every generation actually invents its own morality. But we need to know what God's morality is. Every culture often invents its own morality. We need to know what God says is moral and true. And we need to be prepared to live lives that are moral and true, because we cannot judge others without looking at our own lives. He calls us, Jesus, to live positive lives of doing good in the ways he describes in the Beatitudes: being merciful, doing the right thing, and so on. Now, we often feel powerless to change the situation. And the trouble of today's world, there is one danger with living in such a difficult situation, is that we become victims. And Jesus doesn't want us to be victims. He wants us to become activists for Jesus. Often people are bowed over and crushed by difficulty. But the change needs to happen to us and our attitude and our heart. And we need to stop thinking of ourselves as victims. Experience the healing of God and with time become activists, radical, peaceful revolutionaries. Those who believe the gospel can enable people and even structures and places to change. And we need to be this. Even if we become the persecuted, even if it gets tougher, we need to be activists. It's a good quote, isn't it? Jesus Christ is all the salt and light this dark and rotten world needs. But we must have salt and light in ourselves, and we must let our light shine. I just think it's a wonderful quote, spoken by a man who went to glory in his 80s, that by his writing has influenced millions, I would think, not even just hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world who lived in humility and graciousness. But he knew this wasn't just a wonderful world. It's a dark and decaying world. And human beings are in darkness and decay. But Jesus gives the power to change. And he commands us, I believe, you are to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Not just to those who are close to us. It starts there, but then it moves out into a far wider sphere. And indeed, we must choose how much time we spend with our family, how much time we spend with our neighbours, and how much time we spend with others. Our families could take 101% of our time, but we are called to go into all the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus lived it. He knew about families. He struggled with his family so that he might be obedient to his Father in heaven. So we are called into the world to be salt and light. It excited me when I was converted at 15, and it excites me even more now. Let's just be still as we can. And also we may introduce just some songs as we reflect on what God is saying to us and us as a church. But we'll just see. Let's just be still and what songs, if any, we feel are appropriate. Ask you to consider in twos or threes or on your own what it would be like to be salt and light in the world. Perhaps you might like to revise what you were saying, or you'd like to still say the same, but in the stillness just focus on that, because you're going to have to decide what you take away with you. So let's just, with God, ask him to write those things in our heart that he has said. Ask Becca if she'd take the mic and if anybody has anything to share or to pray. just to do that. If you just put your hand up, she'll come to you with the mic. Remember, only share those things which are for everyone. If God said something to you that's private, keep it private and just pray it, okay? But if you want to share something, then Becca will just hand you the mic. Any scripture you want to read or...
Because he is the example of the life we need, we must to follow. You know our hearts and you know how we are. You know everything about us and in us. You know how we proceed during the day in our schools, work, universities, wherever we go. And you know, Father, that some of us and some of your children in the world, they are light, but the light has been weak. And the darkness has been defeating the light in some of us, in some of your children. But as your children, we ask you today that the Holy Spirit may empower us and we will shine stronger and stronger. And the darkness will be defeated in the places where the darkness is reigning, even though you are present in there.
Yes.
And the trip in the courts, in the schools, in the governments, in houses.
Yes.
Your presence is there. In the alleys and streets, in the corners, your presence is there. But the light that must be in us has been too weak to shine and to defeat the darkness. And we cry out today and we ask you that your Holy Spirit come to empower us, to give us strength and power, and we will shine and we will defeat the darkness in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we want to pray for victory where we are victims. Lord, we want to confess that often we are more concerned for ourselves than our communities. Lord, we want to hear your word and to know that inner change. We do need to know that power of the Holy Spirit which will enable us, Lord, to be merciful, to mourn and grieve before you in prayer. We want to know that desire of the Holy Spirit to do what God requires and to be pure in heart. Lord, purify us, we pray, through that holy, holy, holy Spirit. We pray that our motives may be pure. And Lord, we want to do this not for our own sake, but for the sake of others who have not yet heard the news, the gospel of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer. Let our cry come unto you. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. Come and listen to me. Thank you. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Just did anyone have a scripture or a prayer or something they wanted to share? I don't want anybody to leave with something they really felt they wanted to share.
Say, I am the Lord. I am the Lord that will close the door of your house for all darkness. I am the Lord who opened the door of your house for the light.
Yes.
Jesus. I am the Lord who closed the door of your job for all darkness. And I am the Lord who opened the door of your job for all light.
Yes.
I am the Lord. You must hear me. I am the Lord of Abraham. I am the Lord of Jacob. I am the Lord of Ruth. I am the Lord of Esther. I am the Lord, and I didn't change. I'm the same Lord always and never, never be a small thing of change on my character, my personality. I am your Father. I give Jesus to you. I give Jesus to your family, to your neighbor. I am the Lord who bless your street. I am the Lord who bless your neighbor. I am the Lord who bless your children. I am the Lord who bless everybody. I am the Lord. Believe in the faith. And with the faith, whatever you ask, you have. Whatever you ask, you have. Because I am the Lord who ready to bless you, to bless your house, to bless your womb, to bless your everything. I am the Lord. The Lord of the Lord. I am the Lord who are in the throne. I am the Lord who burn. I am the Lord who smell. I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord. And I hold the planet with my hands. And I hold our life. And I hold our family. Because I am the Lord. Amen. The name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. It is the Lord who shuts the door against the darkness and opens the door for the light. He is the Lord. We have a chance after this worship service to stay and to pray, to carry on praying to the Lord. You'll also see that we're hoping to introduce some sessions in the weeks ahead, which will give people a chance to come in small groups to actually practice listening to Jesus, to learn how to hear the Lord, to pray, to encounter the Lord in an experiential way. And so please do talk to me if you're interested in taking part in those occasional sessions. We're going to sing before we have a break and turn to more prayer. Over all the earth, you reign on high. I am the Lord. We have to respond to the Lord, don't we?